Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Redeemer Theological Academy. Confessing Christ to an Unbelieving World. With Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer.
You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Keschelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we were talking about the revealed rock as we have it in the book of Daniel. That the Holy Spirit himself was working through the prophet Daniel to reveal about the coming Christ, the coming stone who would bring the eternal kingdom. And as we said last week from 1 Peter chapter 1, that concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. Again, that's from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. So that we know that the Spirit of God speaks through the mouth of the prophets. And in that passage in 1 Peter, we have clearly that this is the Spirit of Christ giving to us this wonderful understanding of the Holy Trinity, that there is one undivided divine essence, yet there are three distinct persons, so that you can call the Holy Spirit the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ, for it's the same Spirit that proceeds from the Father and the Son. But this Spirit is the one who spoke through the mouth of the prophets of old and through the mouths of the apostles after the ascension. And it's the same Holy Spirit that uses their teaching that is inscribed in written form so that we can continue to hear the voice of God and to be taught by him. For he is the one who reveals to us the knowledge of salvation. So in today's lecture, we'll continue with the book of Daniel. Specifically, we'll jump to chapter 5, but then we'll go over to 2 Peter chapter 1 and see the correlation between the working of the Holy Spirit to reveal this divine knowledge. And then we'll also spend quite a bit of time in Psalm 119. Where we are taught that God is our teacher. Now let's go ahead and begin. In the book of Daniel, as you recall, we were talking about how the Holy Spirit is using this instrumental means of Daniel to proclaim the coming kingdom. He is revealing to the kings of Babylon these divine realities that they could not ascertain from earthly thinking or any kind of worldly wisdom. Now, in Daniel chapter 5, we have this well-known account of the writing on the wall, that there's the banquet and there's King Belshazzar and the hand and the writing, and nobody knows what this writing means, and so they're very distraught in this evening. And then it's the queen who reminds the king, Belshazzar, that there's this man named Daniel, and he has the Holy Spirit. Now, just like we talked about last week, you might have in your English translation that says the Spirit of the Holy Gods in the plural. But recall in the Aramaic and in the Hebrew that the word God is in the plural. So whether or not a pagan unbeliever would say gods in the plural, like a polytheistic understanding, we know that when we have the word in Hebrew Elohim, that tells to us the plurality of the three persons of the Trinity. And so we're talking about the same Holy Spirit, just like we talked back in the book of Genesis when Pharaoh declared that it's the Spirit of the God, or the gods, if you will, but we know the Holy Spirit of the God, the one true God. And so this is the same Holy Spirit who worked through Joseph to interpret dreams for Pharaoh. And now it's the same Holy Spirit that works through Daniel to interpret dreams, specifically this vision, for King Belshazzar. So now in Daniel chapter 5, we pick up at verse 11. It says this: "There is a man in your kingdom," this is the queen talking, "in whom is the spirit of the holy gods," or as we've just discussed, the Holy Spirit. And she goes on to say, "In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers, because an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, 'You are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king my father brought from Judah. I have heard of you that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me to read this writing and make known to me its interpretation, but they could not show the interpretation of the matter.'" Now this is Daniel chapter 5, verses 11 through 15. Now again, as we know, the spirit of the gods, if you will, as Belshazzar says, is none other than the Holy Spirit, the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God. For the Spirit of God is the one who reveals to humanity through his prophets these divine realities. So that these people like Belshazzar here or Nebuchadnezzar before, they go to the prophet as the instrumental means through which the Holy Spirit brings us wisdom. Now, as a successor to Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar should have known that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. So that the one true God, the Most High, the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods, he is the one who establishes kingdoms, and he is the one who tears them down. He is the one who puts a man to represent him on earth, to bring justice and equity and righteousness in the land. And he's also the one who knocks him off the throne when they let the pride get to them and they think that they themselves don't represent the true God, but instead are the true God. And so you see this throughout the history of the world, that these kings who are to represent God's justice and righteousness and equity in their rule turn out to let the better of their sin get to them. So that they let it get to their head that they are to represent God's rule to bring peace and order to earth, and they then think that they are gods on earth. And so the Lord God knocks them off their thrones. But he uses all these kingdoms. He's behind the movement of these kingdoms, moving forward towards his coming kingdom. That it's these kingdoms that we see, the Babylonian kingdom, the Persian kingdom, the Greek kingdom, and then finally that Roman kingdom, in which his Son, Christ our Lord, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of David, will reign and bring in this eternal kingdom through the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. So here we have Daniel, who revealed to the previous king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and now he is revealing to the current king of Babylon what is going to happen. And so Daniel responds by giving to the king the interpretation of this vision. So we pick up in Daniel chapter 5, verse 22. And this is what Daniel says. And you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. And the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see, or hear, or know. But the God in whose hand is your breath, and whose are all your ways, you have not honored. Then from his presence the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed: Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Parson. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, meaning that God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, that you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. So this is Daniel chapter 5, verses 22 through 28. So that in this passage we understand what's taking place. The Babylonians were used by God in days long before to punish and to chastise the people of God who rejected him and refused to listen to his voice. Again, this is the constant theme that we see throughout the scriptures, that God redeems his people, he makes his people holy, he continues to dwell in their midst, continues to speak his voice to them because he wants to abide with them, but yet they refuse to hear, they refuse to listen, so that the people become secure in their sin, saying, once redeemed from Egypt, always redeemed from Egypt. There's nothing that the kings of the world can take away from us, for we are God's favorites. And so the Lord sent his prophets, like Isaiah and Jeremiah, to tell them of the coming destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonians. And when the Babylonians came and gave the punishment and poured out the wrath of God upon his own people, the temple was destroyed and the holy vessels were taken. Now in this passage in Daniel chapter 5, we have a new king on the throne in Babylon, not Nebuchadnezzar who took the vessels from the temple, but instead Belshazzar, who now misuses and abuses the vessels of the temple of God, using them at his banquet to drink the wine and get drunk and just to parade it around as a conquering king. This was the final straw that broke the camel's back, and now the Lord's judgment will be laid upon the one who judged Israel, so that the instrument that God used to punish his people will now be punished themselves. And so the Lord sends his prophet to reveal this law, exposing the sin and the wrath to come. So here's Daniel explaining to this king, the king of the Babylonians, that it is God who places a king on the throne, and it is God who takes him off the throne. It is God who raises up a kingdom, and it is God who lays a kingdom to waste. So that the same vision that Nebuchadnezzar saw is about these kingdoms and the interaction of God in the affairs of humanity. That you have the kingdoms of the Babylonians that will fade, and then enter into the Persians, which will fade. Then you'll enter into the Greek kingdom, which will fade. You'll end up in the Roman Empire. But at this time, that Roman Empire will fade, and the Son of David will begin to reign from Jerusalem, ushering in a kingdom that will never fade, an everlasting kingdom. And so that's what Daniel had proclaimed to Nebuchadnezzar, and now he's telling to King Belshazzar that your kingdom has come to an end. Your time is up. It's over. The game has now been finished. It's come to a completion, and that very night, King Belshazzar dies, and so does the Babylonian kingdom, as the Persian kingdom rises from its ashes. Now again, in Daniel chapter 2, it was the Holy Spirit who's revealing to Daniel these truths. And recall, Daniel in chapter 2, verses 44 and 45 said this, "And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed." Now the days of those kings, of course, is that last kingdom, the Romans, that Roman kingdom. "And so the kingdom that God sets up shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people." God's kingdom will break into pieces all these other kingdoms and bring them to an end. "And it shall stand forever, just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made this known to the king. What shall be after this? And the dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure." So again, these are the words from Daniel chapter 2. How would we know these truths? How would we know the realities to come and the coming of God's kingdom unless God revealed it to us? And so God reveals these truths to us through his servants, the prophets, so that he tells us of the coming kingdom of God, the coming Christ who will usher in this kingdom forever. And that's why Peter said in his first epistle that it's the Spirit of Christ who prophesied of the coming Christ in his suffering and his subsequent glories. And then in Peter's second letter, he goes on to say this in chapter 1 of that second letter. "Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Now that's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. Again, the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks through the mouths of his prophets, talking about the coming Christ, and then it's the same Holy Spirit who speaks through the mouths of the apostles, saying that Christ has come, he was crucified for us, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and he shall return to judge the living and the dead. This is not the opinions of Peter and Paul. This is not just the opinions of prophets like Daniel and Isaiah. It is the very word of God, so we can be certain and sure that it is true. It is not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God. And unless God reveals to us these divine realities, we would never know them. But God is the one who is the revealer of divine truth. He is the one who reveals to us the knowledge of salvation. He is our teacher, and he is our guide. He's the one who teaches us through the mouths of the prophets and the apostles, written down so we can be certain that we hear his voice. And then in our day, he is active with these very words, his complete revelation that he has given to us, so that we would know for certain what his will and what his plans for us and all humanity are. So when we look at the scriptures, especially Psalms, we see how the Lord teaches us to open up our eyes, to open up our mouths, to open up our ears and our hearts. In Psalm 119 itself, it is a wonderful psalm that continues to teach us that it is the Holy Spirit who is the interpreter of his word. So that an interpretation from Scripture is not about a human opinion, or it's not who has the best ideas or thoughts, or who's the wisest in the earthly realm, but instead, true wisdom comes from God. God the Holy Spirit, who enlightens us with his word, and he teaches us that this is the instrumental means through which he wants to reveal to us the knowledge of salvation, and that we would continue to grow in our understanding of his word. So in Psalm 119, for example, if you look at verse 18 and 19, it says this: "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me." So here we are taught by the Holy Spirit to be students of the Scriptures, to be disciples. That is, those who continue to listen. But when we continue to listen, we are not our own teachers. We do not teach ourselves our own opinions of what we think, but we learn from God. And so we learn to pray to Him that He would be working through this word to enlighten us. So we learn to pray, "Open my eyes." Because without the work of the Holy Spirit, our eyes will remain shut no matter how clear the written word is. It is the Holy Spirit who desires to work efficaciously through His word. It's the means through which eyes are open. And so we ask Him to be the teacher, and that we would repent from trying to be His teacher. Rather than trying to conform the Word of God to what we think it should say, we are to let the Word of God form our own thinking to what God tells us. So that, like in Psalm 119, if you drop down to verses 25 and 26, we read this: "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes." So that's Psalm 119, verses 25 through 26. Again, we are taught to cry out to God that He would be our teacher, that He would teach us what He desires to reveal to us in His written word. That in His word He gives us life, for the word is about Jesus, who is the life. He's the author of life. He is the living vine, and we, the baptized, are the living branches. And we desire to abide in Christ as He abides in us, and that we would bear much fruit. And we do this by abiding in His word, abiding in His love. So Psalm 119 continues to teach us. I'll drop down to verses 33 through 34, in which we are taught to pray this: "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart." That's Psalm 119, verses 33 through 34. Again, the Holy Spirit teaches us in His word to cry out to Him, humbling ourselves, repenting from our own worldly wisdom, and asking Him to teach us, that He would be the one who gives to us understanding, so that we don't come to the text and try to rationalize and say, "Well, that doesn't make sense. God must be wrong, or that must just be the opinion of the apostles and the prophets." Instead, we humbly come before God, our teacher, who desires to reveal these truths through the mouths of His prophets and apostles. And we ask Him to give to us understanding. Because we still live in this life and sin still clings to us, we still do not see things clearly. And so we ask God to take away all of our wrong, erroneous understandings of the word, and that He would continue to guide and lead us, enlighten us in the true faith. And so, for instance, if you continue in Psalm 119 and you go to verse 66, it says this: "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments." Again, we are taught by the Holy Spirit to pray that He would be our teacher, that He would be our guide, that He would be the one who teaches us out of His word. If you drop down to verses 124 through 125, we read this: "Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies." You see, it's the Holy Spirit who desires to reveal to us the knowledge of salvation and that we continue to grow in it. It's the Holy Spirit who desires that we would continue to abide in this Word, that we would continue to hear the voice of God and continue to grow in it. But it's that old sinful flesh that wants to resist the work of the Holy Spirit, wants to close our eyes and close our ears and close our hearts to God and have nothing to do with us. Because the problem, again, with sin is, by nature, we are enemies of God. But it's the Holy Spirit who comes to us in His Word to teach us. So that throughout the history of the Old and New Testament to people, we see the people of God listening to the voice, but then becoming bored with it, becoming complacent and secure in their sin and their salvation, and refusing to continue to listen. But yet we are taught time and time again that we are to listen, we are to be disciples, we are to hear and learn. So that if you look again in Psalm 119 and go to verse 135, it says this, "Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes." So that we would humble ourselves as students, recognizing God is the teacher. So that we would say, "Make your face shine upon your servant." We ask that we are taught. If you look at verse 144, it says this, "Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live." Again, we ask the Holy Spirit to give us the understanding. We ask the Holy Spirit to give to us knowledge and wisdom, these gifts of the Spirit. And then in verse 169, we are taught to say this, "Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word." Again, our desire is to learn the divine realities that God desires to reveal to us. And He reveals His truth to us in His written word. So we are taught to ask Him to give to us understanding, so that our own sinful flesh would not rule and dominate over us, that we had become prideful and boast and think that we know more than God. Instead, we are to receive the word and we can say, "I don't understand this passage, but I know it's true. Yes and amen, thank you, Lord, for this. Teach me your truths. Give to me understanding that I may continue to cling to your word." So we are taught throughout the scriptures that it is God who gives the gift of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And as Isaiah tells us in chapter 11, it's the Spirit of the Lord, it's the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. These are the gifts of the Spirit, that wisdom comes from God, knowledge comes from God, this counsel comes from God, understanding all comes from God. And so that we would continue to listen to the voice of God given to us in the Scriptures. Those who refuse to listen are those who refuse the work of the Holy Spirit. Yet the Holy Spirit time and time again teaches us to abide in His Word, that He would open our eyes, that we would see wonderful things, that He would be the one to open our ears so that we can hear the crystal clear voice of God, that He would open our minds to understand what the Lord is revealing to us for our salvation, that He would open up our hearts so that we would believe all His promises that He gives to us, that are all fulfilled in Christ. As the baptized, we pray that God would open our lips and our mouths would declare His praise to an unbelieving world, so that many more may be brought out of darkness into light.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.